Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's bring in Matt George here, live from the ABC 10 newsroom. Matt, you posted a video we've been watching here for the last few minutes. Anxious to hear the breakdown of this on Locked On Kings, I'm sure at some point over the next day or two. You got to watch them get up and down the floor here for a little bit. What was your biggest takeaway from, one, what you saw and posted on Twitter, and what you maybe didn't post on Twitter?
Guys, they're getting me. They're getting me.
I like that. I like to hear that.
They're reeling me back in.
Yes, how it works.
They're showing the right things. No, it was fun to watch some 5-on-5, and we've heard so much about the competition. And one of the big – I had a million questions going into training camp. But one of my biggest questions was, what does Doug Christie's team look like? Like, what is – not Doug Christie taking over midseason with a staff that's not his – what does a summer and meticulous planning, as we know Doug meticulously plans for anything and everything. If you never saw him plan for a radio show or plan for the broadcast that he did, I mean, he is meticulous as it gets with his planning. Mm-hmm. I heard you guys earlier in the week talking about when he would have the scout when he's on Mike Brown's staff, meticulous. So this man had an entire summer to put this training camp together. And it was like, okay, what is it going to look like? And whether it's 94 feet, that might as well be on a t-shirt at this point, that every single one of those guys are wearing, or like just competing, getting after it defensively, talking, chirping, like all of this. We're seeing it on full display. We are seeing Doug Christie on full display in this training camp. Now, it's 3 days in, and they're not really facing adversity other than that which they create, right? So I don't even think we'll get like a real taste of adversity when the Toronto Raptors come into town in less than a week, by the way. We'll be watching Kings basketball in Golden One Center in less than a week. What is that cliche? Like, you have a plan, do you get punched in the mouth? We'll see how this team reacts when they get punched in the mouth. But if in Doug Christie's way, the Kings want to be the ones doing the punching, not waiting to get hit. So, like, to see the 5-on-5 today, to see the energy, the intensity, I'll be honest with you, a lot of shots weren't falling. And I think that was because legs were tired. Mm-hmm. There was a play where Dennis Schroeder got the offensive rebound and he walked the ball up the floor. And I'm thinking, if this was the first quarter, Doug Christie would probably be screaming at him. But we're in there the last 5 minutes. Who knows how long these guys have been playing? And Dennis looked tired. Everybody looked tired, but they were still getting after it. We saw Dennis and Malik going at each other, like chirping at each other. There was a possession where we talked about, how does Doug Christie get the buy-in defensively from the guys who aren't known for defense? And it's Zach LaVine, who had a steal, by the way, went for a transition layup and got blocked by Daquan Plowden, who made a fantastic play. But Zach LaVine got a steal playing the passing lane. Malik Monk at one point was guarding DeMar DeRozan. DeMar got the ball in his favorite spot on the floor, back to the basket, that mid-range, and Malik pokes the ball away from him and doesn't create a turnover, but it just disrupts him. And the Kings have to go somewhere else. That unit had to go somewhere else. Like, we're seeing it now. Again, it's just practice, but we're seeing it. And it's the same way I talk about what players do in like preseason or in summer league, right? Neat Clifford doing what he did in summer league. Everyone goes, oh, it's summer league, it's not real NBA competition. But if Neat Clifford had struggled in summer league, we'd be going, oh my God, Neat Clifford's not an NBA player. It's the same thing with this. We're seeing them do the right thing. Oh, but it's just training camp. Yeah. But if we weren't seeing them doing this in training camp, we'd be concerned. So I'm, like I said, they're reeling me back in. I'm very impressed with Doug Christie and the, as DeMontis Sabonis puts it, strict and professional training camp that he's running.
Love it. Real quick, spell Daquan.
D-A-U.
Nope. Never mind.
Nope.
Go ahead.
Not even close.
Well, see, now I forgot. I forgot the original because I'm just focused on the Q-W-O-N. So I forgot the first one. Forget the first one.
D-A-E.
D-A-E.
Yeah.
D-A-E.
Yep. Okay. Sorry.
Touch on that a little bit, Matt, because I was listening to Locked On and you talked about that, but Sabonis and his evaluation of what this training camp has been so far about, I would say strict and professional, huh?
Yeah, Domas played it safe because I think Jason Anderson yesterday asked him a follow-up to that. It's like, what do you mean by that? And Domas started talking and immediately hesitated and went, I can't really say things without saying like stuff in the past, so I won't really say. Like he took the high route, I guess. But I think it's pretty clear that Domas is referencing how the past regime, Mike, and to some extent Monty, McNair, how they ran things, because Domas wasn't just talking about the camp that Doug Christie's running. He mentioned Scott Perry, right? And when we're hearing players talk about Doug Christie, they're also talking about Scott Perry, which suggests to me there's a unity. There's a unified front. Scott Perry has been there on the sidelines right afterwards. He's talking with the coaching staff, like immediately chatting with them about what he saw. Like there is a unity with them and how they're trying to do things. And the players are recognizing that. So I mean, everybody knows I'm a big fan of Mike Brown's. I do not think he deserved to be fired. I don't believe he deserved to be treated the way that he was treated. But things obviously didn't work in a lot of ways of what Mike tried to do, especially starting in training camp of last season. There were some obvious disconnect. And the best I can say is, as of now, there doesn't seem to be any sort of that disconnect. Everybody seems to be on the same page with what's expected of them. Doug Christie has made it very clear what the non-negotiables are. This is who we are going to be. There, we are not fluctuating on that. But at the same time, I asked Doug yesterday, like, the favorite topic when I worked with Doug to hear him talk about was how he and his team interacted with Rick Adelman. I think Rick Adelman deserves a statue outside of the Golden One Center. I idolize that man. And one of the stories that Doug tells is there's practice one day. This is like the height of the Kings. And Rick is saying, we want to do this, we want to do this. And Chris Webber, I think, stops him and says, but this is who we are. Let's try it this way. And they try it. And Rick goes, all right, like you can own it. Let's do it. Let's do it that way. And that just kind of became a staple of who the Kings were. He gives more of a specific example. I don't know what it is. But Rick was open to that feedback from his team. And so I asked Doug about it. And I asked Domas about it. And Domas says right away, yeah, like after practice, we're talking to Doug. And we're giving suggestions to Doug. And Doug said yesterday, I don't care where the good idea comes from as long as it's a good idea. And once we implement it, it becomes like you own it. The players own it. If they suggest something and I implement it, they now own it. It's on them to execute it. So really convoluted way to answer your question, KC, but these are just the subtle differences and things that I'm noticing in this camp that have me excited. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out perfectly, but it just feels like a fresh start from where we were at just a few months ago.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, yeah. I want to, it really does feel like last year really affected them. There are a lot of references and kind of like even Domas saying like, I don't want to say anything because I'm going to keep saying stuff about last year. But yeah, last year really affected these guys. DeMar on media day speaking about things that happened. I hear little things like you talk about these guys talking, and I started earlier in the show talking about, I don't believe it's a conscious shot at Mike Brown. I don't think that's what Doug Christie is doing. But the communication, the quote that you just talked about when he's like, we're going to talk about this, and you guys are players, you see something different, like, let me know, and we'll talk this through. I take it that last year is fresh on their brain, and they are trying to do everything they can to move that memory out of this year and that energy out of this year. And I'm not saying that to blame one specific person or multiple people, but it just feels like it's something that is, if you were here last year, it's something that you want to get far away from, and you want things completely different than what you went through last year.
Casey, not to be dramatic, but to me, like, it affected us. It affected this show. It affected media members. It affected, like, it was such a chaotic, I call it junior high school environment. Like, it was just drama filled. It was unnecessary.
It affected my relationship with De'Aaron Fox.
It did. I mean,
and Devin, like, Carter.
I mean, it just, it was that kind of year. So it's impossible for it not to affect everybody. Now, I hope everybody has also looked in the mirror and done some reflection of, hey, I probably played a part in that to some extent.
Well,
everybody
maybe.
Did. Everybody did. Well, okay. Not, I was talking about the players, but
my bad.
Stay off of Twitter. But to me, it's impossible for it not to affect everybody. And I think it got, like, to a point where everybody knew whether I was in the right, I was in the wrong, I knew everything. Like, I was the problem or not. That cannot happen again. Like, we cannot let that happen again. We cannot let it get to this point again. I think everybody was sick of it. And even if there are disagreements still in that locker room of how things were handled last year or how things should be handled now, the diversity of vision, but unity of purpose is another one of the hot terms that Scott Perry has been using a lot. Like, that seems to be another thing that the organization is really rallying behind, is we might disagree with things, but we're going to be unified in this idea that we're going to be a better basketball team than everybody thinks we're going to be. We have the talent to be effective, and we can all be unified against the people who don't think we're going to be very good. Like, that's just the vibe, the energy that I get. And that's very much that's Doug Christie energy, right? That's just mm-hmm. a Doug Christie, like F everybody else. We're going to do our thing. So last year can't happen again. I think everybody knows it. I'm glad it's being acknowledged as openly as it is, so that by Wednesday, when we tip off inside the Golden 1 Center of Kings Raptors, I don't want to have to reference last season other than, oh, that's something we saw them do last season, or that's something different from what they did last season on the basketball floor. At that point, put it to bed.
I'm with it. How big of a believer are you in? How much were you analyzing those jerseys when you walked into practice today and saw those guys getting up and down the floor like that?
Yeah, that's kind of a joke amongst us media members, as we go in and immediately start looking at colors of jerseys and who's wearing what. And I did so yesterday. We were looking at the blue jerseys typically signify the end of the bench guys and the guys competing for spots and two-way guys. And like Maxime Reyno was wearing a blue jersey yesterday. Devin Carter was wearing a blue jersey yesterday, along with Isaac Jones and Daquan Plowden and those guys. Today, it was very much like starter versus perceived bench unit. So the starting five is as we expect. And then the bench unit when we first walked in was Malik Monk running the point. And I think that's going to be something we see a lot. Malik Monk running the point. Keon was at the two, although Keon was switching defensive responsibilities between Schroeder at times, mainly Zach LaVine, a little bit of DeRozan. And then Dario Saric was playing the four, I believe, when we first walked in, although he was subbed out for Daquan Plowden pretty quickly. And then you had Maxime Reyno at the five guarding Sabonis, which I was really, really excited about. Mm-hmm. And I'm forgetting one under. Oh, Neek Clifford Neek was playing the three. Yeah. So you had the two rookies out there with the bench unit, and then Malik eventually subbed out, and Devin Carter subbed in, and then Devin Carter was running the point for the Kings second unit. So when I asked Malik and talked to Malik after practice today, I asked him about, like, a major topic of conversation has been how the Kings are using Domantas Sabonis differently offensively this year. And to me, it's not that different. It might be different from last year, but they're essentially using Domantas Sabonis the same way as they did Beam Team 1. Like, they're using him out above the arc as a DHO guy and someone to run the offense with the space out there a little bit more. And Malik and Domas were very effective together doing that with their pick and roll game. And I asked Malik, like, how has he been different? Malik said, I've only been playing against him. I haven't gotten to play with him yet, but once I play with him, I'll tell you, type thing. So it's very clear that these established units have been going at each other, and they haven't really switched up and changed too much. But Malik being the point backup point guard, at least with that leading that second unit, captaining that second unit, which was a very young second unit, I think spoke volumes. And I was very happy to see Neek and Maxime out there for the entire time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to ask you about Devin Carter, because we spoke about him a little bit earlier, and we both kind of agreed I don't necessarily see a pathway for him to get meaningful minutes the way the roster is right now. But, man, it really feels like if there was one guy that could – one of the guys, because I think Keon could do it too. Dennis Schroeder's got a little bit of it in him too. But one of the guys that could really, like – implement exactly what Doug Christie is talking about from a guard position. It feels like Devin Carter could be one of those guys. Once again, I don't think today he's better than Malik Monk. He's better than Keon Ellis. So I don't see where the pathway is for him to get minutes to be able to show that. But from what you've been able to see so far in training camp, do you see him having that, taking on that mentality that Doug is trying to implement with the entire roster?
Yeah, a good way to illustrate it, KC, is Doug shared with us, I think either on day one of training camp or on media day, he said that he wants to have a 10-man rotation. And the reason why he wants to have a 10-man rotation is because the way he's asking every single guy to play when they're on the floor is hard and exhausting. It's that 94 feet. It's all-out effort all the time. So I need that 10th man because I need to give these guys some rest. And I think the best way to illustrate that right now is if there's a 10-man rotation, I couldn't tell you who all 10 guys are, but I can tell you who's 11. I think it's Devin Carter. And I think he's just right there to where if anything changes, he's going to be the first guy to get the call. He's going to be the first guy to get the opportunity, so he has to be ready, right? But if Malik Monk is who we expect Malik Monk to be as the sixth man and the leader and the veteran of that second unit, and he's playing on the defensive level or end to at a level that we saw today consistently, doesn't mean he's not going to get beat or anything like that, because this is the NBA. Everybody can score, seems like, in the NBA. But Devin's going to have a hard time breaking in. But where Devin can embrace, like you're talking about, Doug Christie's identity is when Devin is on the floor, 94 feet, Devin Carter can stick to whoever he wants to. Like the ball hand, he should be a nuisance everybody. And that was originally a role that I would say, man, this is what Keon is born to do. But now Keon has taken over more offensive responsibility because his shooting, to where I wonder if Keon's still going to be asked to do a lot defensively, but I don't think Keon is going to be expected to give 110% on the defensive end because of what he can do offensively versus Devin Carter. It's like when you're out there on the floor, you should be exhausted and also exhausting whoever you're guarding, whoever the opponent is. So that's what I think Devin Carter's role is. And I look at it as a card for Doug Christie to go to and play at any time. Oh, Steph Curry is we need someone just to chase Steph Curry around a little bit and tire him out. Devin Carter, here's 3-4 minutes. Just go out and make his life hell and even pick up some fouls while you're at it. Like that's as of right now, what I see Devin Carter's role being. But again, I think he's a guy that, he's the first one, I think, that is going to be outside of the rotation that Doug Christie will call on when needed.
That's a tough role. Yeah. That's a tough role for Devin. What was it? You said at the beginning of this, with this big stupid grin on your face, I think they got me. I think they got me. What was it? What was it today, or what has it been the last few days that's that's got you back in this mode where you're excited about the team?
There's a lot of little things that would take me half an hour to lay all out, but it's Doug Christie.
Hmm.
I mean, and this also, like, it pulls at a heartstring because I grew up idolizing the man and the team that he played on, right? That my childhood was Doug Christie's time in Sacramento. So it's natural for me to want to root for the success of that man wherever he goes, but especially here in Sacramento, of course. But it's seeing Doug Christie embodied on the floor, I guess. It's seeing Doug Christie's identity being embraced by the team. And we'll see what it actually looks like in real game action and stuff like that. But from the limited windows, and I'm talking limited windows, guys, we've been in there 3 days. We got like 5 or 6 minutes of 5-on-5 today that we got to watch. We've gotten free throw and running drills yesterday. And then we got like full sprint layup drills the first day. We're getting nothing. Like, they're giving us just barely little tastes. And even those little tastes are like, okay, I'm excited. I'm very excited about what I'm seeing. So we'll see when Wednesday comes around and the Toronto Raptors come to town, like what works, what doesn't, what's sloppy. Doug talks a lot about, like, he wants this team to be brave, not to be perfectionists, meaning take risks, try things. I think we saw some players try some things in the scrimmage today. So that probably means there are going to be sloppy moments when you're playing as fast as the Kings are playing. And Malik Monk said the thing he thinks that will surprise the team or every team in the league this season is how fast the Kings are playing on both ends. There's going to be some sloppiness to that. So I don't think it's going to look perfect or pretty all the time, but I see Doug Christie and how the Sacramento Kings are trying to play and trying to operate. And it just feels more than talk. And that's what's getting me. That's like, there's something there to be excited about and to rally behind. I still have major questions about how this works and how good this team can be short term. And then whatever the long-term plan is, but step one is getting a head coach in there and establishing an identity. That is what this season is quite literally all about. And you're getting off to a flying head start with that in training camp, I feel.
You see this a lot in sports and basketball, even in football, hell, in baseball in certain situations. And I think that's what's going to be the key this year with this Kings team is taking on the identity of the coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The team plays like you would imagine that coach to play, whether sure. It's Doug Christie, or we used to do that for Taylor Jenkins and what he did in Memphis.
Oh, yeah.
And grit and grind and all this other
better
stuff.
Ending than that one, hopefully.
Let's pray.
Yeah.
Let's pray. But these teams that Joe Mazzulla, you know, who's the other?
Ime.
Yeah. Houston took on that identity. Now, part of that was the GM getting players in there that could execute mm-hmm. what the vision was for that coach. But that may be something that we're seeing here in Sacramento is this team taking on the identity of the head coach.
Yeah.
And I think that's what Doug is going to try to implement during this training camp.
And again, let's be perfectly clear, too. There are still major question marks about how this is all going to work. And 3 days of training camp doesn't decide a season. Mm-hmm. But it's about getting off to a strong start. And from my money, it's harder to do any better unless, like, in this, even if they hit every single shot they took in this scrimmage today, I would then go, okay, maybe the defense wasn't as good as it was supposed to be. Like, it's hard to imagine a better start to training camp and to this new regime than what we are seeing over these first few days. And I just hope that carries through the entire training camp. And I hope we really get a glimpse of that on Wednesday, because the crowd that's going to come into the Golden One Center is going to be, one, ready and starved for Kings basketball because we had no California Classic, and two, is going to be incredibly curious. And I think if what I saw and what I've been seeing in training camp and hearing in training camp conveys itself on the floor on Wednesday, I think a lot of people are going to leave that arena regardless of the final score going, I'm back in. Like, I just have that feeling.
I love that.
Preparing everybody to get hurt again.
I know. Okay. Break. He's going to break my heart. Fine. Doug Christie's going to do it this time.
Live with an optimistic viewpoint. We're only 3 days into this, so it's going to get worse. The great part is by like Sunday, there's probably going to be a fight.
Mm.
There's going to be a fight at practice, and Doug's going to say, "Oh yeah, they're just tired of seeing each other. They're just. We need to play somebody else. We need Toronto to get here because these guys are, you know, they're getting after it. They're playing hard. They're tired of each other. And so, you know, we'll hear about, you know, the Malik Dennis fight or the, you know, Devin Carter Malik Monk fight or something like that, and that'll be all right. We're here, everybody. We're here."
But I like what Doug's saying though. He says if you're not willing to go at your teammate, how the heck are you ever going to go at somebody else like that way? It starts here, right? Mm-hmm. And to see, yeah, there was never any concern at all of things getting physical between Malik Monk and Dennis Schroeder today. Mm-hmm. Never, not even remotely close. But Schroeder fouled Monk, didn't agree with the call. Monk went right back at him and said, "You hit my arm," and they just jawed at each other. Like, there's that competitive fire, and that's why both of them are probably pretty exhausted because they've been scrimmaging for a while. So,
yeah.
Again, it's just a glimpse of that competitive fire, and Doug Christie sitting there on the sideline nodding his head going, "This is what I want." So,
I say fatigue makes cowards of us all. Fatigue makes us all cranky. That's what it does. Yeah. And some of you are suggesting that Devin Carter's already in a fight. You guys need to stop it. That's inappropriate.
Man. Come on, man.
Come on.
Head over to Baker. Oh, it is not the same. There are different levels to this, buddy, and it is not the same.
We're both losing.
Head over to BakerFamilyWines.com right now. Join Dusty's Clubhouse for exclusive releases and tasting room specials. That tasting room is in West Sacramento. It's an amazing place. We had a great time there on Sunday. Bottles of that 755 to honor Hank Aaron were consumed, but nothing like that rosé. Check a nugget nearest you. There's one in Granite Bay. You can check Rayleigh's and Bel Air. KC said the nugget in Elk Grove's got it. We know that the Rayleigh's in Elk Grove has got it as well. Whatever your local Rayleigh's or Bel Air are, whatever your local nugget is, look for that wine bottle with the familiar baseball stitch and enjoy Dusty Baker and Baker Family Wines. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Big thanks to Matt George for being with us, as always. Thanks to Trista Crick for being with us. Thanks for Jake Gayden for filling in on the insiders. And make sure that you tapped in tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos! I ain't even gonna say it, dog.
Red Sox, see you guys tomorrow.
How about 49?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.